like to speak tonight concerning the battle in the valley of Jehoshaphat. The battle in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Joel. Prophecies of Joel. Joel, one of the earliest prophets. In fact, he probably knew Elijah and Elisha. He may have only been a boy during their ministry, but their life overlapped. So he's one of the very earliest of the major and minor prophets. And yet his prophecy projects to the latter days. In his day there was a plague of locusts, followed by a drought and a great famine. He made reference to this, but he uses these plagues of the present as a parabolical application of his prophecies in the future. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We pray that this time of enjoying your Word in your house and the preaching will have lasting influence in each life. Bless Pastor Thompson and his wife. Bless the entire ministerial staff of the church and the workers. God, give this church perpetual and continual revival. Give us great services Sunday here in this church. Bless me as I go to my next place of ministry. Lord, for all of us, maybe we be watching for your soon return. Should there be those here tonight, Lord, that have sin in their life, that are not ready to meet you, not ready for eternity, may that awesome holy fear, that is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of God, settle upon their heart, and may they be persuaded by the preaching of the Holy Word that they must quickly make their peace with God. Fill and refill with the Spirit. Heal those that are sick. Minister, Lord, to these that are not here because of sickness, those that are in the hospital. Now anoint each mind to receive your word. May the word be easily understood. For you made it clear that the way is so simple that a little child or a fool need not err therein. Anoint me to preach your word with power and an articulate tongue. We'll give you the glory for all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday night I dealt with the 9 battles of tribulation days. The response on that sermon has been tremendous. Quite a number have said they had never heard that preached. The truth is, I have never heard it preached, and I don't have it in book form outside of the Bible. But that kind of a expression in a nutshell of things that God has given me over a lifetime of preaching from the major and minor prophets. Most of what you hear and read on the battle in the valley of Jehoshaphat is taken completely out of setting. I have no argument with anyone else in their interpretation. If you go to a Bible dictionary, you'll find that the valley of Jehoshaphat is the Kidron Valley. There is a tomb they call the tomb of Jehoshaphat in the valley. It may not even be Jehoshaphat's tomb, but it's a traditional tomb. Tradition says he was buried there. But that has nothing to do with why we have the battle in the valley of Jehoshaphat. I was reading today a book and it said that it would be impossible to gather the nation to the Kidron Valley. And this is speaking of the great white throne judgment, and the great white throne judgment will obviously not be set in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And so we see that there's very vague comprehension of the last part of Joel because of taking it out of its setting and neglecting other scriptures. Let's look at chapter 1 and get into the spirit of the prophecy. There was a plague of locusts, followed by a great drought, followed by a great famine. He says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? So he's asking the old men to make a statement. For the old men, have you ever seen anything like this? And the answer is obviously not. The days were pitifully bad and terrible. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left the cankerworm hath the cankerworm eaten, that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Now, about this point, he starts preaching, a mix of prophecy and preaching, and he goes to the end days in that period of time we know as tribulation. So as much of the prophecy is twofold, he ministers to the spiritual need of that day, he prophesies for the future. It is obvious as he goes into the end of the chapter, he's talking about the great fire on earth. By the time he gets into chapter 2, there's no mistake about it. He's talking about the great day of the Lord and the time when God judges the earth with angelic armies. Awake ye drunkards and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are as the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Now, if you can get in mind these two principles, he's referring first to the situation at hand, but basically the entire book has to do with the last days. All week long we've dealt with the tribulation, the 7 years of nuclear holocaust. I perchance should go to verse or chapter 2 first and come back to this. But he is talking to us what we should feel and the mood we should have looking upon the coming days of great tribulation. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Here's the virgin newly married to a young husband, and he dies. And he says in the light of this, we should weep. And again, he says that the priest should weep and the people should call a fire in lieu of the great day of the Lord that is coming. That we should call times of prayer and fasting and spend an entire night of prayer in the house of God. Verse 9, the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off in the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the palm tree, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered from the sons of man. So he's talking, and you'll find in a few verses what causes it. It's a fire in the land. The fields are burned. The nuclear scientists tell us if we have the big war, winds like the winds of Hiroshima will go around the planet 3 times. Professor York says every tree will be burned and every blade of grass will be burned. This will include the wheat and the barley. That's why in tribulation days there will be such a famine. The people of the earth are killed with fire and famine. Moses in the first tribulation prophecy in Deuteronomy 32 said a fire is kindled in the day of God's wrath. And this fire will burn through the crust of the earth. It will burn through hell. The older theologian documented well the geographical location of hell. One place Jesus descended into the belly of the earth. And the sign was, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so should the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. And he descended in the belly of the earth. He also, the Bible says, descended into hell. The scientists tell us that the center of the earth is molten fire. We know that. I was reading some time ago on the molehole. I always pray that God will guide me in my reading. I went in the library and took out this scientific journal on the molehole. And this scientist was saying if we could drill a hole through the earth, and then contain it in a well shaft and drop a man in it, and he would drop down when he came to the center of the earth. He would have enough momentum to pass on through. When he passed through the center of the earth, now instead of falling, he'd be rising. And the law of inertia would carry him till the periphery on the other side, where he would lose his momentum, and there would be a sudden reversal, and he'd start to fall again passing through the center of the earth and rising. So he'd go up and down and up and down and up and down until finally the law of inertia was spent, and this is what the scientific journal said, then he would be locked in a bottomless pit from which he could not fall. Every direction would be up. I thought, that's interesting. And it wasn't 3 days later, but one of these smart mouths, skeptics, said, well, isn't the Bible filled with meaningless redundancies? It talks about a hell being a furnace of fire and a bottomless pit. Anybody'd know that if it was a bottomless pit, the fire would fall out the bottom. And I stopped and immediately thought of that scientific journal, started quoting that to him, and the Bible says it's a bottomless pit. It's also a furnace of fire. And it stopped the man in his tracks. Now, until the white throne judgment anyway, hell is in the center of the earth. And it's a horrible place, and Jesus had more to say about hellfire than anyone else. And Moses said that the fire would burn into hell and set on fire the foundation, the mountains, and the inhabitants of the earth would be killed with fire and famine and the beasts of the earth. I attended a nuclear clinic put on by the university, a 3-day deal, and they said if we have the nuclear war, that the animals that are in bomb shelters, the horses and the cows, will be as vicious as the wild animals of the jungle. Read it in Revelation 6, when the fire falls and 1/3 of the people of the earth are killed. And then they are killed by famine and the beasts of the earth. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's a horrible time coming on this planet. And Jesus said it'll be worse than anything known in history. There's never been a time like it from day number one, never in time past, nor ever after shall be. And Jesus said, except those days be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. Every major prophet in the Bible and most of the minor prophets predicted fire falling up from the sky in the last days, bringing great destruction, followed by terrible drought and famine. And it is of this the prophet speaks. The trees are burned, the orchards are burned, the palm trees, the apple trees, the pomegranate